Senior Focus. Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter of this edition of Senior Focus. And I have with me in the studio today Brad Clark, who is the CEO of Grandparents Raising Grandchildren. And to my mind, it's one of the most significant roles played in society. So welcome, Brad.
Oh, thank you, Anne-Marie. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'd like to ask you straight up how you were attracted to take on this role, because I know you come from a background of social profit, fundraising, marketing, communications, and you've been very successful as a CE for Starship Foundation. And also you've been involved with marketing for Canteen. So what attracted you specifically to come into this role?
Really good question. Mostly the people. The chair of Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Trust, Prue Echeverry, is someone I worked with when I was at Starship Foundation, and having the experience at an organization like Canteen, who supports young people living with cancer, I could see the peer support angle of what Grandparents Raising Grandchildren does as well. So, you know, where there's children in need, where there's elderly people who need support, where there's a solution in how we look after those people, and that was consistent with some of my experience. And Grandparents Raising Grandchildren have been around for 24-ish years, so I could see that they'd evolved a lot but had needed some help at this stage, and I felt like I was the right person for the job, and here I am.
Fantastic, thank you. Your passion and your enthusiasm is what's attracted me to interview you, because it came through in the article in the Channel magazine that Aidan Bennett put together, and so that's kicked it off. Can you just explain how grandparents get in touch with your organisation, and how do they find your organisation? Yeah. Where is the connectivity?
So, yeah, we have a bit of a profile, but it's like there's, you know, there's 27,000 charities in New Zealand. So, you know, getting cut through isn't always easy. We've been fortunate enough to have been covered by long ago article in the New Zealand Herald focused on a client of ours, a member of ours, who was supported by one of our support group coordinators in Rotorua. And so we get profiled through various means, whether it's a newspaper article, whether it's our own website, which is grg.org.nz. And we do our best to promote people through our peer support groups. We have about 35 support group coordinators dotted around the country in key geographical areas who provide support and peer support groups and advocacy, lower level advocacy support. And so, yeah, we spread the word by word of mouth, but we do try to get ourselves out there, whether it's in the media or doing things like this, Anne-Marie, which is really lovely.
And do you find that there are channels through the health system, like GP or nurse clinics?
Yes,
or?
Of course. Yes, so the referral system for us is alive and well. I was looking at a client file on our database recently, which, you know, was referred through a child health angle, whether it didn't say it was Starship, but it could have been Starship or another health facility. So people are aware of us. I talked to a community constable in my neighborhood not long ago, and she was aware of us and had referred somebody through us through a youth that was struggling, and through the knowledge that she gained, realized that that person was being raised by their grandparents and the challenge that was. So there's a lot of word of mouth. There's a lot of referrals that come through like-minded organizations around the country as well. It could be Plunkett, could be Bernardo's, could be lots of different areas. But we do cooperate and collaborate with a lot of like-minded organizations and we refer back and forth.
So at an entry level, when somebody joins the organization as a grandparent, there is a one-day workshop on offer. Would you like to explain how that assists people?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I would mention that we have an 0800 GRANDS number, so 0800 GRANDS, which will get you to our helpline, which is basically our main phone number, which will then we can refer people to it. So, you know, that's good to put that out there. And as I said, through the website. SALT is the name of our workshop, which is a half-day, full-day workshop, which is the acronym is Simply Acquired Learning Techniques. It's slightly awkward in that the learning techniques that we're teaching is trauma-informed care. So giving grandparents the knowledge of how to understand, manage, and pass on some of that knowledge to the young people, children, young people in their care, to de-escalate situations, to understand what might be behind a particular outburst or a behavioral pattern. So we're arming our grandparents with the knowledge of just getting better support through their day-to-day care of their grandchildren. And we've got amazing response through that. So that's something you can access as a member of Grandparents Raising Grandchildren free of charge. Would mention membership is free of charge to be a member of Grandparents Raising Grandchildren. And yeah, that's just one of the ways that we support people. And that's a national activity that we offer anywhere in the country, depending on demand.
Thank you. Now, there's also, I understand, a very special service provided for people who need a break from the pressures of grandparenting. And this respite care is like a five-day respite care. And that was also featured in the Channel magazine article. So I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that. How do people get to qualify for this, and how often or frequently can people access this?
Yeah, it varies. So the respite opportunity for the grandparents really is giving a camp opportunity for the children or young people in their care. So in the article that you mentioned, which we're so grateful for Channel Magazine and Aiden Net Benefits to supply for us, was highlighting that opportunity that we provided for one of our grandparents, Jean Furie, who's been a long-standing member of Grandparents Raising Grandchildren on the North Shore. And we were able to get her grandchildren to a camp. And so that gave her 5 days, essentially, of respite. And, you know, in the article, it talks about how grateful she was. So that is an opportunity that we provide annually, and depending on the region and depending on the opportunities that we can access. So we don't run the camp ourselves. So we would access and through our various funding partners, be able to purchase and then pass that benefit on to some of our grandparents. So that's how that works. It is actually amazing, and it's also a bit of a travesty, really. I mean, we, in our day-to-day lives with our kids, tend to take a break or have somebody else, like a grandparent, that can look after our children. These are grandparents that are looking after their children, their grandchildren, full-time, and there isn't a lot of other supports around them, mostly. And that's why our peer support groups that are run by our amazing support group coordinators around the country are so valuable. It gives them a couple of hours away, you know, even if it's just a couple of hours a fortnight, to bond and get support from their peers.
Right. So with your experience coming into this role, I guess you've seen firsthand the enormous impact something like respite care can give to people and help them reset their dial, so to speak, find their inner strength and just learn to be their own best friend again.
It's important. We all need time out. We all need to look after ourselves, and that's one of the things that the SALT workshop is important to underline, is that we need to practice self-care. And we need to look after ourselves and grandparents, particularly where the circumstances that they get their grandchildren is usually very traumatic. There could be abuse, there could be neglect, it could be incarceration. A lot of times it's addiction, where their own children, a daughter or son, is addicted particularly to pee. And that's a scourge on New Zealand and around the world, but it's one of those big indicators or the big causes of family breakdowns, and that's why a lot of our grandparents are raising their grandchildren. So it's not just the trauma of had their own lives upset, it's the fact that their children are also struggling at times to look after their own kids. So and that puts pressure on their own relationships, you know. Grandfather, grandmother have been together for a long, long time and looking forward to their retirement, and all of a sudden their life's turned upside down. It puts a huge amount of strain on relationships, and that's the other area of self-care and you know, support that they need, is people to understand what they're going through.
Mm. So with the demographics of the grandparents, I'm thinking that it would be quite good if you could give us a bit of a thumbnail sketch in terms of nationwide. Are there particular areas of the country where the need is more concentrated? And what's the range in terms of social status and economic situations and ethnicities? Is there any particular pattern showing up?
The demographics are interesting. Yeah, it largely follows the population demographics, but we're overrepresented by Māori and Pacific families. Māori families, whānau, would make up close to 50% of our families. So that's, you know, overrepresented by the population demographics. The age range would be you know, grandparent age, you know, but grandparents could range anything from 50 to there's great-great-grandparents in our membership. You know, there's a 90-year-old great-grandfather that I met in my first or second week at Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, who was raising his 3-year-old great-granddaughter. Your heart breaks, but it's also amazing that he's there and putting in the mahi to help his family. And so those are the situations, you know. It's from 50 to 90 plus. Typically grandparents, as you would guess, would be either retired or they need to pick up a job when they get their grandkids, because the financial constraints that are on them, or the strain that's on them. So yeah, it's it varies. It's not typical. You know, I was wanting to dispel any myths of stereotypes in the article, and that came through to me really strongly meeting some of the members who come from professional backgrounds. There's, you know, I guess that's the plague of addiction, which we have, just which doesn't discriminate. And so, yeah, they're all walks of life. It's amazing and it's inspiring to meet these people who are, you know, their lives have been turned upside down, but they're loving, providing safe, caring homes for these grandchildren is now their mission in life.
Mm. And just thinking also that we've got a cost of living crisis. We've got a lot of these grandparents will be on National Super, and we know from the general data about our seniors. That's one thing that we do know quite a bit about on this program. 51% are on National Super and have no other input, no other cushioning in terms of income. So would you say that's a pattern that shows up again in your demographics?
Absolutely. Being on fixed income as usual. As I said, you know, the financial strain that's put on these families when they get one or two or three, or well, I was reading a case today, 6 grandchildren that are coming to them, that's massive. And, you know, so we're already struggling maybe day to day, and then that's, you know, that's the situation you find yourself in. And you might have also downsized your home. You know, you might be in a 2-bedroom unit or a retirement complex, and all of a sudden you've got a whole different situation that you need to manage. So housing is an issue. Yeah, absolutely. Income is an issue. The specialist advocates we have, and I'm not sure if we were going to get to this question, but I'll jump it into it now. You know, we have 2 specialist advocates, one who is focused on benefits and the financial side of the equation, with work and income, with other other ability to receive funding from government, whether it's a benefit or not, is hugely important to these people, and sometimes that is denied at the first ask because of various, they don't know what they're entitled to, or they don't understand the circumstances around it. So there's things like the unsupported child benefit that is really critical to our grandparents, because when you have those grandchildren full time, the financial impact is huge. So an unsupported child benefits that is absolutely one of the first go-to areas that we ensure that is unlocked for them. And there's other issues like custody orders, care and protection orders and things that might be needed through the courts. So we have a community advocate who has a specialist legal background, not able to provide legal advice. She's not a lawyer, but somebody who can actually just help guide through the court system and help write an affidavit or understand what's going to be faced with. So that's a really important part of care for us, and that's where a lot of our funding goes, is to help support those advocacy roles. And when people are in need, we do have things like care packs and emergency care packs and things that we can send out to them.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm sure that must, give people a warm feeling inside when that arrives. And
I know firsthand it's that people are so grateful to receive something when a lot of times they just get these children with nothing. And it can be under quite emergency circumstances sometimes where children have been uplifted by police or ordering a tamariki in not nice situations. So, our ability to be there quickly is important. We don't always have all the answers, and this is where we have a great network of like-minded organizations around the country. Who we might reach out to and say, can you help us with this particular case, or can you help provide support for one of our families that we may not be able to? So, we look after each other in our world a little bit. And so, like I said before, with the referral system, those organizations would also refer clients to us, knowing that we have the specialist area to support grandparents.
That's marvelous when you've got that sort of connectivity and you've got that outreach and support available. It must make a huge difference.
It does. And, I guess I would just jump in and to say that, we couldn't do it without support of a lot of foundations and trusts around the country and individual donors. Zonta International is one organization that's helped support our SALT program nationwide. Zonta has been a great partner for us, by organizations like Foundation North. We are so grateful for the support that we get from these donors, and that's part of my mission now as the relatively new CEO still, is to diversify our income. We've been quite reliant on grants and foundations, which is, we're so grateful for that support, but we realize there's a lot of people out there that need support, so that gets thin on the ground sometimes. So my job now is to help build our funding base. So people might want to leave a bequest in their will. They might have a major donor that they might feel inclined to support our organization. So that's definitely an area of need for us. One of my key focuses is to get some of those fundraising things off the ground.
And I was going to actually ask you more about this fundraising, and you've launched into it, and that's really good. And I know that's part of your passion. I'm just wondering, it seems post-COVID, lots of organisations are struggling. They're struggling because things fell away during COVID. A lot of the normal fundraising gigs, events and things just didn't happen. And subsequently, not all organisations have been able to re-establish themselves. And so now with the inflation and the difficulties and with unemployment rising and so on, we have a different climate. And where people were more generous in the past, as the phrase, they zip their wallets, springs to mind, it's certainly a challenge as to figure out what's the best strategy.
Yeah, it is. There's no shortage of fundraisers, great fundraising ideas, and there's no shortage of great charities in New Zealand particularly. We know we are the, I think the stats still are accurate in that we are the most one of the most generous countries in the world. Kiwis are great givers, and there's great causes. You know, we have a lot of them, and, you know, it's part of our culture. You know, love being a New Zealander. I've been Kiwi now for 32 years. You know, it's one of the lovely things about being in our country. We're very, very generous as a country. And so, yeah, you, at the same time, you're right. You know, we've struggled through COVID. A lot of organizations have struggled to maintain, you know, events particularly. You couldn't do them in person. And so they've had to pivot, you know, to use a well-worn phrase through COVID, and people have still been generous, and that continues. So, yeah, I have, I'm always the eternal optimist, but I think that you know, our cause is absolutely worthy, and I think through opportunities like this, and thank you so much for this, is that we get to talk about what we do, and we get to raise awareness for the cause. And my heart breaks, you know, hearing and seeing and meeting some of the people who are doing it tough out there. And but, you know, there's still people like our support group coordinators, like my team in head office in Auckland. You know, we're all passionate about doing the mahi to make sure that we do the best we can to support these grandparents. And there's more people out there that we know that aren't getting help, either haven't understood that we exist or haven't been able to, for whatever reason, reach out to us. So I do encourage, through this opportunity in this audience, if you know somebody out there that need and looking after their grandkids, please get in touch, and we'll do our best to help support them.
Mm. And so, do you have brochures or literature at CABs or in libraries?
Yes, Citizens Advice Bureaus tend to do stock our pamphlets. So, but also our website is probably the best place to get information: grg.org.nz. But yeah, even, you know, reach out to me, brad@grg.org.nz. Happy to send you out you know, a pack of information. But yeah, and it's likely that if you live in a, you know, even a relatively big center in New Zealand, that there might be a support group coordinator in your area that we can also refer you to. And then you have a whole family, a wider whānau of people in your community that you can lean on. And that's one of the huge, you know, very cool and important things that we do, is have that network of people out there who are running these support groups. Yeah, so that would be my... that's where to get information, really, is people that are living it, lived experience, have been through there, done this, been there, done that. They'll have the knowledge and experience, and we can put the people in touch with those people who are in their communities. But significantly, you know, there's gaps. You know, we don't have somebody in, I think, Taupo, Tauranga, both of those areas. I think we're in need of support group coordinators at, you know, fairly large centres, and people, you know, move on sometimes, their life circumstances change. So if people are out there and willing or wanting to help, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm. And also, although we broadcast from Sky Tower, so we are local in the Auckland region, but we have the magic of podcasting. So after the program is over, the program is available as an MP3, a podcast, from our website. That's planetaudio.org.nz. So it will be possible for the program to generate leads and so on, I hope. Now, I was also wondering about things that are coming up, like, for example, the digital expo for seniors in November. That's a first ever that's being held on the 10th of November on a Sunday on the North Shore at the Event Stadium. And there will be a number of organisations having stalls and communicating with seniors. And of course, because the whole thing is about digital communications, and which is, you know, the heart of the difference, if you like, between grandparents and grandchildren. I wondered about, you know, if you'd like to make any comment about digital communications and that whole area for grandparents.
Yeah, it's absolutely, as you say, it's interesting the way you termed it, the divide between grandparents and grandchildren. And so, yeah, we, you know, our effort is to you know, to connect with people tends to be either by phone or 0800 Grand's number, for example. So we have that opportunity. We print our newsletter still in a printed version and mail it to you if you'd like to just to be a newsletter subscriber. But it's definitely an issue, and it's also one of those things about how we can support our own people, our own support group coordinators who may have challenged with, you know, we provided with a laptop, we provide you with a mobile phone, those kind of things, but those tools aren't always well understood enough. So we aim to provide training and support for not only our own people on the ground, but it's a great thing to support others. And there's a number of resources on our website that can point people in the right direction to get support. Ironically, if you can't get on the website, that might not help. But if you're digitally challenged, I'm sure we'll be able to provide a pathway to help. But really interesting to hear that show is going on. I'll look forward to taking advantage of that as well.
Yes, I'll be pleased to make sure you get an invitation.
Excellent.
And thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us, because I think there's nothing more important than the wisdom of the older generation and being able to be transmitted and being able to be shared.
It's proven that level of support, whether it's full-time care or just having that connection with your grandparents and your wider whānau, is super, super important for kids.
Mm. I'm sure it's the glue that makes all the difference.
Thank you so
much.
Not sure
that glue is the right word, but never mind.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brad. And we look forward to being able to follow up and maybe after the expo in November, have a panel discussion of some of the people who were there. And
that would be great. And I'm sure, I know we have some very smart, articulate people who are passionate about what they do. So yeah, having a support group coordinator who come and talk, you know, about their coalface kind of experience, that might be really eye-opening about some of the situations that are in. That can be hard listening, but it could be quite enlightening as well.
I'm sure it would be super, and we look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/seniorfocus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.